Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back in the Kia Studios. It is the John Chuckery Show. Live on a Tuesday night with you, 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Streaming online at 929thegame.com. That's where you catch us live, replays of all the shows. Breaking sports news, our new and improved website, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. It's got a new feature on there that you can rewind and listen in real time. It keeps a 24-hour stream, and you can go back and listen at any point over a 24-hour period. Put that on whatever device that you got, your phone, your tablet, your turntable, your boombox, your Commodore 64, your text instruments calculator, whatever you got that you carry around with you. Social media, all of it's at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Be a part of all of those platforms. The best way to follow this particular show is through our personal Twitter handles. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That's all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is producing the show, hanging out behind the glass tonight. Jarvis is in the building, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. We will talk to Chris Kirschner, who covers the Hawks for the Athletic, coming up at 8:20, as Hawks will get things started Thursday in Detroit against the Pistons. Of course, 92.9 The Game is your home for all things Atlanta Hawks. Now, they won't be on 92.9 The Game this Thursday because Atlanta United is going to be in action. They will be on V103, but you can always check us here to catch all of your Hawks action. So it was a really good weekend for all of the Atlanta football. Now, Jarvis, let me get my obligatory Kennesaw State talk out of the way because they're all mad about not giving enough love to Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State 6-1 after they took care of business against Presbyterian, who now goes to 0-7, by the way. Listen, schedule sets up very well for Kennesaw State. They got North Alabama, they're 2-5. They got to play Hampton yet, they're 3-4 yet. Gardner-Webb, they got to play yet, they're 3-4. Really, the big game that they've got is the two teams that are ahead of them. Monmouth is 5-2. Campbell's 5-1. So, you know, the two top teams, you know, along with Kennesaw State in their conference in the Big South right now, they got those teams yet. But everybody else is, you know, again, 3-4, 2-5, 3-4, 2-5, 0-7 the rest of the way. So, good for Kennesaw State. You know, keep rolling along. You know, Monmouth and Campbell will have a lot to say about the, you know, where that particular season is at. Now, we go at, was that good enough, Jarvis? Was that, okay. All right, Jarvis said that was perfect, so there you go. So, UGA. Now, here's what I'm going to say, and this will get all the Georgia people all fired up. I'm going to give them a pass this weekend, and I'm going to say that because that was dreadful weather conditions to have to play that game in. Dreadful. And I thought Kirby Smart had a very interesting take after the game. Like, why give Kentucky any sort of chance to be in that game? I mean, they didn't complete a pass until 3 minutes to go in the game. And they had a wide receiver playing quarterback. They were never – the only way they were going to score is if Georgia got cute and turned it over and gave them a really short, easy field to try to get something done. Georgia, truthfully, played so conservative. My problem with the way the Georgia game is that – Georgia should have out-athleted Kentucky right from the start. It shouldn't have taken until the third quarter for them to finally wear down and finally beat up on Kentucky. They should have done that right from the start. That's the problem I have with it. I get why they did what they did. They didn't end up with any turnovers. There's no reason to allow Kentucky to feel like they've got a chance to win that game. And you can say, well, yeah, but it was 0-0 at halftime and all that. Yeah, I understand that. And they were going to out-athlete Kentucky at some point, and they did. They should have out-athleted South Carolina, but never did. But unfortunately, it took them that long. That's where my problem is. Like, that game should have been more dominant from the very start, especially if you're telling me that Georgia was relying on what its strength is, its offensive line, its running game. I can tell you this, though, and I'm going to stick to it till the bitter end. right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm going to stick to it to the bitter end. They won't beat Alabama or LSU or Clemson or anybody like that unless they start to open it up some. That stuff that they've tried the last 2 weeks, and I'm hoping that that's what the competition level is, because that won't fly against LSU and Alabama. They get the week off and now go down to Jacksonville, which we're going to have coverage, live coverage, my understanding is, right? I think Andy and Randy are scheduled to be there-ish. Yeah. As of right now, they're going to be down there. I still think Florida's the toughest game on Georgia's schedule for this season. Again, before you get to the SEC tournament, I'm talking about the 12-game regular season that they have. I still think Florida's their toughest opponent that they have. And even over Notre Dame, yeah, I know they lost to South Carolina, but from a standpoint of, I think Florida's a pretty good team. By the way, Florida took care of business going up to South Carolina. That could have been a trap game very easily for Florida this past week. South Carolina coming off the high. Florida put up, 37, I think, on them. I think it was like 37-24, somewhere around that range, or 37-23 or whatever it was that they went up there and took care of business in Columbia. I think Georgia-Florida is going to be a fantastic game. But I can tell you this, and look, Florida's got an excellent secondary. I mean, we'll get into more previews of that as time goes on. But the defensive backs that they've seen over the last several weeks ain't nothing like what Florida's got. Florida's got dudes back there, okay? And they always do. And Florida's a very good defensive team. But they're going to have to get more creative than thinking that they're going to line up and just push everybody around. They should do that to South Carolina and Kentucky. They didn't do enough of that. But they will not beat LSU or Bama or Clemson or anybody like that until they decide to really let Jake Fromm run this offense and open it up some. And I understand why. It's Kirby Smart. He hasn't gone through that Nick Saban curve. You know, it took Nick Saban a bunch of years to, number one, say, you know what? We got to change. Mount Cody and Marcel Darius and Mark Barron are in the past of how you play football. You know what? You know what's so funny about Nick Saban? If you put the Wonder Woman lasso of truth on Nick Saban, he probably loves this because they're still blowing teams out, but they're not playing very well and not playing the way he wants to play. They can't run the football, and they don't play defense enough against bad offenses. But they're so dynamic on offense that they can just, when they need to score, you know, their run game is throw it 7 yards to Ruggs or Smith or anybody and just let them run 80 yards downfield. Waddle and Judy. Hell, even Najee Harris is catching passes now. Can't run it? Throw it to him. Let him run it 75 yards downfield out there. So I think in some way Saban loves it because it's like, okay, I'm not losing, but I've got something to coach them on. I got something to yell at them about that, hey, you guys aren't running. We're not doing the things that we need to do to win. And now you got Tua hurt, by the way. So that aside, whatever like that. But Georgia's going to have to figure it out. Now, Georgia Tech, here's what I'll tell you. It's better to be lucky than good. I heard this stat. Do you know that Miami has missed 6 field goals inside of 34 yards this year? 6. How's that possible? By the way, you mean to tell me that they can't find a kicker in South Florida? There are no kickers available in South Florida. 6 field goals inside of 34 yards they've missed already this year. Good for Georgia Tech, man. I loved it, man. I couldn't believe what I was hearing and all that. Georgia Tech's defense found a way and stepped up. That game had a lot more points than I thought it was going to have, I can tell you that. Because that's two of the worst offenses in America, is Georgia Tech and Miami. You know, Miami came into that game leading the nation in sacks given up. They're one of the worst scoring offenses, one of the worst passing offenses in the nation. They were a dreadful offense, and Tech was right there with them step for step as far as bad offenses go. But what a great win for Jeff Collins and Georgia Tech. I will tell you this. I know this sounds crazy. That Citadel game's still a punch in the gut. You know why? They'd have 3 wins right now. And there's still some winnable games on their schedule. Virginia Tech is no great shakes. Now, they'll probably beat Tech, but they're no great shakes. It's not like Tech can't beat them. There's still some winnable games on there. Would have been at least fun to see if maybe they could make a run at trying to get to a bowl game. That's why that Citadel game is kind of a punch in the gut from that standpoint. But great job for Georgia Tech. I'm excited about Jeff Collins. I love what they got going on. Once again, they don't have their players in. They don't have their guys. They don't have all their players in, you know, and it's such a transformative shift in how their offensive system is run, from blocking to everything that they do out there. And then finally, we hit on Georgia State. Let me tell you, coming up in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, you got two more games, and then App State and Georgia State is going to decide a lot in the Sun Belt. Who would have thought that at the very start of the year? That was a gutsy win by Georgia State to beat Army. That was a real good gut check call to find a way. We'll talk to Dave Cohen for a weekly chat tomorrow. What scares me is coming up against Troy. You know, remember there was sort of that letdown against Furman after the big Tennessee win? Army's better than Tennessee. How about that? I said it. Army's better than Tennessee. I'd rather have Army than I would Tennessee right now. Now, it's been disappointing for Army. I won't deny that. But I think Army's a better team than Tennessee. I think that from a quality win, the difference is going up to Neyland Stadium, but Army's a better opponent than what Tennessee is. My concern is you had that letdown with Furman. They found a way to win that game, but Troy isn't great, but they're just good enough, and they've got enough offensive firepower. By the way, they have the best quarterback in the conference. Their quarterback is the best in the conference in Troy. They've got enough. They, you know, one thing about Troy, they always score a lot of points. They're always a good offensive unit out there. That's the only thing that scares me, is that making sure that they don't have that letdown coming up this week. But good for all the locals, man. I mean, did what they had to do. Some good things bounced their way. Some crazy things happened. But winning front all the way around for all the local college football teams. All right, when we get back, Chris Kirshner going to join us, talking some Hawks from The Athletic. As the Hawks, in a couple of days, going to open up the regular season. It's back, the NBA. Talk about that next. Chuck Winnie, Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckwer Show, coming to you live here on a Tuesday night. Well, coming up Thursday, the Atlanta Hawks kick off their season, taking on the Detroit Pistons. Thursday night, 7 o'clock. We always have all the action as part of 92.9 The Game. Out on the WadeFord.com hotline we go. We talk to our guy that covers the Hawks for The Athletic, Chris Kirshner, joining us here. You can follow Chris on Twitter, at Chris Kirshner. Chris, as always, appreciate the time, buddy. And here we go, ready for another NBA season.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. I think it should be a fun one for the Hawks, even if they don't make the playoffs. You know, this team definitely has the potential to make a lot of highlights on the floor, and it should be exciting for fans.
You know, I will tell you personally, the guy I'm looking forward to most in seeing, because I want to see him stay healthy for a full season, is John Collins, and seeing where he progresses. You know, Chris, I don't know about you. I think that, you know, had he been healthy, he probably could have had argument to be made about being an all-star last year. But I want to see him take that next step. Does he feel like, I know we talk about Trey and Herter and a lot of other guys, but to me, John Collins is such an intriguing guy, with health being the number one concern for him.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a big reason why the Hawks stumbled out of the gate last year, you know, they started 6-23. A big reason for that was because Collins missed the first 15 games of the season. And I definitely think that, you know, if he plays those 15 games, he has a strong argument to be an Eastern Conference All-Star last year. And then obviously at the end of the season, he's averaging nearly 20 points per game and 10 rebounds per game, and was one of the most efficient players in the league, not even just in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, for the Hawks, I think a big part of their success this season hinges on just how far Collins' game can grow. I mean, again, he averaged nearly 20 and 10 last year, so it remains to be seen just how much more he has to go till he reaches his ceiling. But, you know, for him, I think a big part to look forward to this season is how he attacks opposing teams, because this is year two for John Collins and Trae Young, and a lot of teams are going to be scheming against that pick and roll, which was so deadly last year. You know, we didn't see any alley-oops between Collins and Young in the preseason, because, you know, teams are scheming against him in that pick and roll, which is what the Hawks' bread and butter was last year. So, you know, I'm interested to see how the Hawks are going to look with that being such a focus on opposing teams. But for Collins, you know, I think he definitely has the potential to cement himself this year as one of the better young power forwards in the game. And again, he showed some of that last year, be it in 61 games. But I do think that he definitely has a lot of room to grow. And a big thing to watch for this season is just how well he develops his playmaking opportunities. I know Lloyd Pierce wants him to be more of a facilitator in the pick and roll, so those dunks can come much easier than they probably will if he doesn't develop in that area. So I think there's the potential there for Collins to, you know, be an Eastern Conference All-Star this year. You know, a lot of it does go into name recognition, and you know, he's not one of the most well-known players in the league, even though he might arguably be the best player on the Hawks.
Chris, your article that you've got up here recently, talking to Vince Carter and giving his thoughts about Bruno Fernando, how do you see his role this year? And maybe give us just a little bit of the gist of what the takeaways were about him.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much Fernando's going to be used in the beginning of the season. Last year, you know, the Hawks rarely played three centers a night. You know, going into game one, Fernando's likely going to be the third team center. He definitely has an opportunity to become the backup center, which Damian Jones likely is, mainly because Jones didn't really look that great in preseason, and I mean, neither did Fernando, but there's more of a commitment long-term to Fernando because the Hawks did sign him to a three-year deal in the offseason. So, but from talking with Vince the other day, he pretty much made it clear that, you know, Fernando is one of those guys who, unlike Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter, isn't shy. Hunter and Reddish are very, very shy. It's very difficult as a reporter to get any information out of them. But Fernando is an open book. He's very personable, very lively, and very engaging. But what Vince was saying, you know, since he's known him for a couple months now, sometimes that gets in his way. You know, Vince wasn't here from day one when Fernando and the other rookies got into town, but, you know, he was telling me how he probably thinks that, you know, on day one, Fernando had it in his mind that, you know, he's the starting center and who else is going to be the other four guys on the court with him. It just doesn't work that easily. You know, he was saying Fernando is just one of those guys who wants everything right now, and sometimes he needs to just step back a little bit and just, you know, work on the things he does well right now and let everything else come to him. And he feels like that is going to be very important for Fernando's growth just because he's such a gung-ho guy and that's just his personality. So if Fernando can take a step back, you know, relax a little bit, things will definitely come easier as the season goes on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. We're on the waitfor.com hotline. Chris Kirshner joining us. He covers the Hawks for The Athletic as we get ready for action. Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Hawks and Pistons to kick off their NBA season. You know, obviously talking about the starting lineup, and with Vince back, and you and I talked multiple times about, you know, how many guys would they add as rookies and in the offseason and different things like that. How would you rate the Hawks bench going into this year?
If we're going with grades, I'd probably say like a C. Yeah, I think it's. I don't think it's very flashy, and it definitely has the potential, you know, to be frank, to be a disaster. Just because, you know, the way the roster is constructed right now, I'm not really sure how easy it's going to be for that unit to get points on a consistent basis. Because, you know, Allen Crabbe's going to be out until at least mid-November. That's a shooter you're missing. Cam Reddish doesn't look like he's really ready to contribute at a very, very high level. Evan Turner's a non-shooter. Jabari Parker's a streaky shooter. DeAndre Bembry struggled with his shot throughout his career. Damian Jones is not a shooter. Bruno Fernando's not a shooter yet. So, I mean, those are guys who the Hawks are going to have to rely on. And you know, if you were paying attention right there, that's not a lot of shooting. So the spacing is going to be a problem for the Hawks, and we saw some of that in the preseason. Yes, you know, preseason for the most part is pretty meaningless, but you do get a sense of, you know, just how things could potentially go this season. And, you know, when Trae Young was off the floor, it was ugly, and it wasn't really fun to watch the Hawks when Trey is sitting, and a big reason for that is just because of the way the bench is constructed. I will say that I think that you know, a lot of fans think that this team you know, could be a playoff team, could be the eighth seed, so on and so forth. But in my opinion, just with the way it is constructed right now, I don't know if they are positioned just yet to, you know, make a run. I think everything has to go right for them, and a big part of this is that second unit, and if it can sustain being on the court for 15 minutes or whatever it is that they play together, because, you know, those 15 minutes are, you know, critical. We saw last year when the bench was in, especially toward the end of the season, it was a disaster. So I think that if they can get production from mostly a veteran group of guys who are going to be on that second unit, it'll go very far for the Hawks' playoff aspirations.
Chris, last thing for you. How do you think Coach Pierce evaluated how it went through their first summer and as we got into camp here for Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter?
Well, for DeAndre, I mean, just from talking with Void, you know, prior to the preseason, you know, right after Hunter got drafted, he's definitely made a big impression in Atlanta, and not only just Void, but, you know, his teammates, front office personnel, pretty much everybody I've talked to who's associated with the Hawks has been very impressed with Hunter. The big thing for Hunter is his offense. You know, he was college basketball's best defender last year, and he played in a system that didn't really showcase what he could possibly do on the offensive end, just because the style of play that Virginia has doesn't really mirror any sort of NBA team, especially not the Hawks. It's pretty much the opposite of what the Hawks are running. But what we saw in preseason is that Hunter is a guy who can put the ball on the floor, get to the basket, use his body properly, make passes in pick and roll, you know, take two dribbles into the paint and kick it out to a shooter. You know, even Vince Carter was telling me the other day he feels like DeAndre is very advanced, and he used the term seasoned, and that's something that is very encouraging for any sort of rookie if you're using that term already and he hasn't even played a game yet. Reddish is a different case just because he missed the entire summer. He wasn't cleared until right before training camp started. He didn't have the luxury of going through summer workouts with the team on the court. He pretty much had to play catch-up, much like what Kevin Herter had to do last season. And as we saw, it took Herter, you know, until like mid-November to really get situated. So there's a possibility that it's the same case for Reddish this year. You know, he definitely had flashes in the preseason where you're like, okay, like, I understand why, you know, there were a lot of people high on him. But again, I think it's going to take a little bit of time, and Lloyd has pretty much said so himself in his little words. He's pretty much said that, you know, Reddish is someone who is going to be on a minutes restriction on Thursday. He's expected to play around 20 minutes on Thursday against the Pistons. And it's going to take time for him to get accustomed to the NBA, and I think that's fine. We expect rookies to just come out and light it up every single night, and sometimes it just doesn't work like that, and I think Reddish is going to be a case for that.
Follow him on Twitter all season long for all your interesting and very informative Hawks coverage. He's on Twitter, at Chris Kirshner, and Chris joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Looking forward to another season with you, Chris. Appreciate your time, as always, and, you know, the NBA is ready to get things going.
Yep, I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
You got it. John Chuck, we're here. We'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That was a heck of an intro there, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is John Chuck. Well, we came in dry and just random clip. I won't use the old Falcon flyover of just S flying off everywhere or anything like that. Chuck, we're back with you here. 404-741-0929 is the phone line. That's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. We're going to do a double What's Bugging Chucker here in just a minute. I got a couple things that I want to go over. I do want to give away, though, right now, okay? So call in at 404-741-0929. Listen to me. Got to listen up closely. 404-741-0929. If you were the fifth caller, okay, I've got four spots in our Rock and Jock bowling tournament tomorrow from 4 to 7. Now, listen, you got to be able to go tomorrow, okay? The event is tomorrow. It's from 4 to 7, and it's in Sandy Springs. If we're going to give away this four-pack, you got to be able to go tomorrow, okay? So the fifth caller to 404-741-0910, you have to give Jarvis your favorite wrestler, okay? So when Jarvis gives me the winner, he's also going to give me who you said is your favorite wrestler of all time. I don't care if it's a man, a woman, whoever. You got to give me your favorite wrestler when you be the fifth caller to win this four-pack. But understand, you got to be able to go tomorrow. You got to be able to pick up the passes or I don't know if you have to pick up the passes or not, but you got to be able to go tomorrow. I got four spots available. All right, 404-741-0929. Let's get to What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, we're going to have a double What's Bugging Chuckery. But the first one is we're watching the World Series take place, Astros in Nationals, as Astros have a 2-1 lead. Remember I told you about this great pitching duel? It's already 2-1 in the second inning already. Both guys already touched up for runs in this game. Scherzer and Cole in all of this, okay? Now, unfortunately, there's been a side story that has come out of all of this stuff with the Houston Astros. Brandon Taubman, okay, who is the Astros' assistant general manager, is in hot water. He told a group of female reporters during the celebration in the clubhouse last Saturday when they beat the Yankees to go to the World Series, okay? He was yelling and screaming about, thank God we got Osuna. I'm so blanking glad we got Osuna, about a half dozen times toward a group of female reporters. Now, if you don't remember, Osuna is the guy who was suspended by Major League Baseball, a 75-game suspension for his violation of Major League Baseball's joint domestic violence, sexual assault, and child abuse policy. It was against his former girlfriend, Hannah Kaiser. Hannah Kaiser was the woman who reported the story out there. They had the woman's name out there. So he says these things about Osuna to all the women reports. So if that wasn't bad enough, okay, that was already disgraceful to do that. Then they came out with the idea on yesterday with a tweet or a message or something like that saying that the women took it out of context and this, that, and the other, and it was fake news and all this kind of stuff. Well, as soon as they started that nonsense, handfuls of reporters came out and said, no, wait a second. We all heard the same thing and couldn't believe what we were hearing out there. None of those women provoked what was going on. One of the women had like a, some kind of pin or something like that for, trying to remember what it was. Something. She had some kind of pin on or something like that for domestic abuse victims or something like that, okay? They basically tried to say that it was a fabricated story. Quote, we are extremely disappointed in Sports Illustrated's attempt to fabricate a story where one does not exist. Then everybody said, wait a second. Are you crazy? We all heard that. So then, to do like a good cornerback would do, they had to backfill. After they stepped in all that crap, so the assistant general manager steps in crap, the team steps in crap, then they all release a statement today and stepped in even more crap, basically saying, we're sorry if you're offended by that. Really? So if you keep lying on top of a lie from the lie that you lied about, is that still lying? Taubman's not going to have a job much longer. If he's employed by the Houston Astros by the end of this week, they're doing it wrong. And you can tell me PC sensitivity and all that kind of stuff. First of all, it's ridiculous what he said. Second of all, it's 50 times more ridiculous to try to think it's fake news and try to say that they fabricated the story when all kinds of people were there and heard it. And third is, if the defense now has become, well, you know, we're sorry if you're offended. Right, wrong, or indifferent,
Everything that the Houston Astros did in this situation was dreadful. They handled it as bad as you could possibly handle it. After dumb comments to double down and then triple down out there, somebody's got to lose their job over this. Sorry. You can call it what you want in 2019. The fact that you had to basically try to spin and lie about all this kind of stuff tells you everything that you need to know about all of this kind of stuff. Now, number two. Yes, we have another What's Buggin' Chuckery. Okay? So, on NBC's Today Show, Michael Jordan sat down to do an interview talking about family, feats, future. I don't know. They were drinking some tequila or something like that. He's part of that group now that's going to – isn't it like a bunch of NBA owners or something like that that they're getting involved in this tequila? I think we had the story about it, okay? Michael Jordan started talking about Steph Curry. Here's what Michael had to say about Steph Curry.
So Steph Curry shouldn't be offended when he watches.
I hope not. Yeah, he's still a great player. Not a Hall of Famer yet, though. He's not.
Cheers.
Cheers, my friend.
I enjoyed this.
What's that gif of Michael when he says, just stop? Just stop, Michael. Just stop. Just stop. Okay? Come on, man. Like, of all the guys to throw that out there about, you know how Michael comes off, right, as the bitter old man? Like the guy who doesn't want his legacy tarnished or whatever like that. Let me assure you of something, and I will bet every dollar I will ever make for the rest of my life on this. Steph Curry retired today, he'd be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. No questions asked. For how great he was in college, for what he's done in the NBA, for the championships, for everything that he's done, he's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Now, Michael knows that, by the way, too. Michael's not dumb, okay? Michael's not stupid. Michael knows that. But why say that? Like, why? Like, it's not even like he's trying to, like, say it in, like, a joking ha-ha kind of way. I'm not telling you that he's, like, staunchly adamant about the idea of, oh, Steph Curry should not be in the Hall of Fame. But he's also not, like, responding to a punchline of a joke or something like that. Okay? I would hope and think and imagine that Michael Jordan knows that Steph's a Hall of Famer. Maybe he's upset because of the guys that he drafted, the Kwame Browns or the Kwame Leonard or whoever the hell he drafted, all the stiffened bums that he drafted. Isn't Steph from the Charlotte area? Was he? Yeah, played for the Hornets. Yeah. Dell was playing for the Hornets when he was born, right? So he played. So he's from that area, right? Yeah. Dell's the color guy, isn't he? Isn't he the color analyst for the Hornets? Is that what they're called, by the way? Are they still the Hornets in Charlotte? I don't know what the hell, whatever the hell they are. Are they the Bobcats or the Hornets? Or I don't know what the hell they are. That's how irrelevant they are. What the hell team are they? Bobcats or the Hornets or the Jazz or the Hawks? I don't know what the hell that they are. Come on, Michael. Somebody send Michael that gif of him saying, just stop. Stop it. Stop it, Michael. All right. Busy What's Bugging Chuckery with all of that. All right, we're going to announce our winner. We got a winner, Jarvis? We'll announce our winner for the four-pack of the Rockin' Jocks Liberty Bowling Tournament. It's all next. Chuck McNikia Studio, Sports Radio, 920 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.